This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. This is episode 141 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, how are we?
I'm so excited because I'm getting ready to take a trip to Seattle for Aviation Geek Fest this weekend. Going to see the Boeing facilities, tour the Everett factory, tour the Seattle Delivery Center, going to be at the Museum of Flight. Just a great weekend coming up, so I couldn't be more excited.
And you've never been to Boeing before?
No, actually, I have been to Boeing, but it's on business, but it's been a long time, number of years. So it'll be good to get back to Seattle and see all the other aviation enthusiasts out there for the Geek Fest.
But let's talk not about manned aircraft, but unmanned aircraft. What do you think?
I'm going to have to switch gears in my head here, David. So what are we looking at this episode?
Well, there's a faction split on the UAV coalition. Air Maps, our weekly segment on This Week in FAA News, which I think will take a while. A sat-nav computation, a new tool to take that perfect droney, you know you want to, and a video of the week and listener mail. So we got a dense show today, so I think we should get started. Well, our first story this week comes from USA Today. Drone Coalition split says DJI, GoPro, and GoPro faction quits. Way back in the day, we talked about the Small UAV Coalition, which was formed to advocate for law and policy changes to permit the operation of small unmanned aerial vehicles, SUASs, or SUAVs, beyond the line of sight in various degrees of autonomy. And suddenly there's a rift in the organization, or there's a split. I don't know why, but this suddenly came out of the blue.
It did. Maybe those on the inside were aware of this happening. But what we see is that some of the founding members, that being DJI, GoPro, 3D Robotics, and Parrot, have left the Small UAV Coalition, and they've gone on to form something new, something called the Drone Manufacturers Alliance. And they say they're going to focus on small drone and consumer issues.
Now that leaves Google Plus, Google X, Aerialtronics, Airware, and Amazon Prime Air as part of the other coalition. So you can sort of see how the lines were drawn there between consumer and would the word industrial be drones be appropriate word?
Yeah, a little more of a commercial bent. From that side. So there isn't a whole lot of information out. The Drone Manufacturers Alliance does have a website. It's at, you guessed it, dronemanufacturersalliance.org. And it's just a work in process. They're just getting started. There's a little bit of information on the page as we record that. It notes that those four are forming this alliance. They say it's a coalition that will serve the voice for drone manufacturers and our customers across civilian, governmental, recreational, commercial, nonprofit, and public safety applications. They say they will advocate for policies that promote innovation and safety and create a practical and responsible regulatory framework. It's really not a whole lot different from the mission statement of the Small UAV Coalition. But it looks like their intent is to just to focus on the consumer end of this exploding industry.
And we did reach out to them, and hopefully we will get them on the show. They seemed very receptive, but like I said, this is sort of a breaking news story. So we'll look forward to working with them and seeing it, getting maybe some more backstory. Hope will come out in a couple weeks.
Now, publicly, they say that they've split on good terms. Everybody is saying in the press that, you know, there's no hard feelings, there's no problem. You know, we can't really tell if that's actually the case, but at least on the surface, it appears that it's just a, you know, a group going off in a somewhat different direction. No hard feelings, but you know, as you say, David, we'll try to learn more about what's going on here and what that backstory is.
Well, let's move on a little bit. The next one is from AIN Online. AirMap unveils drone digital flight notice network. It's a mouthful, Max.
It is. This one is kind of filled with acronyms. So we have AirMap and the American Association of Airport Executives, which is the AAAE or maybe AAAE, they've released this DNAS system, the Digital Notice and Awareness System. And it's interesting and designed to allow airport operators to be aware of drone flights that are in their area.
So we have sort of a electronic notification system.
Yeah, DNAS,
which is what we're supposed to be doing, is notifying the local airport.
Yeah, and this is kind of an automated, if you will, or a system to facilitate those kinds of communications. So the idea is that under DNAS, UAS operators can transmit digital flight notices, encrypted digital flight notices, through a app on the mobile device and send those to the airport's operations center. And then this flight plan, if you will, shows up on an airport computer, shows the planned location of the flight, flight radius, the height, duration, things like that. So we've talked about that a lot, and I know a lot of our listeners have been wondering also about the sort of the practicality of notifying the airports when there's going to be some drone activity in their area. So this is it's a system that facilitates that.
And DJI and Yun EEC and 3D Robotics are players in the game. And actually, it's kind of cool that it's coming from the airport executives working with AirMap. So it's coming from the pilot side of the universe, not going from the drone side. So that's kind of helpful because the airports will get the information they want. So good for this. The DNAS system was going to be demonstrated at the AAAE conference and exposition on May 15th in Houston, Texas. So clearly it's the airports responding to the FAA and coming up with what we hope will be a reasonable working system for drone pilots.
Yeah, this is very encouraging. It notes that 50 airports have signed up for this as well. Of course, it sounds like a lot. It's a lot of airports, but there's many, many more airports to go. But I think this demonstration at the event will maybe facilitate the acceptance of this if it proves to be as, you know, solid and useful as it sounds like it is.
Now, we can't go a week without the FAA doing something. And this is a lesson in Max Flight asking for something and magically it appearing a couple of hours later. And that is, the FAA was given the Micro UAS ARC final report from the organization that was set up for it on the 1st, and they released it as of today. We're recording this on the 6th of April, 2016. It's a lengthy report. The Micro Unmanned Aircraft Systems Aviation Rulemaking Committee, the ARC, announced in February by the FAA, has delivered its report on proposed rules for flying over populated areas. Well, they did it again, Max. They put a deadline on something, and they did it in a little over a month and a half.
Yeah, we have indications that it was, well, in the end, a consensus, but not all the parties had the same ideas on all topics. The objective of the ARC was given as, quote, to consider recommendations for a performance-based standard that would allow for micro UAS to be operated over people who are not directly participating in the operation of the UAS or under a covered structure. And the committee actually expanded the scope of that a bit and didn't restrict it to just micro UAS. It's a well-represented group. There's 27 companies and trade associations from both the unmanned and the manned universes that participated in this committee. And what they did is they divided small UAS into four categories.
The first category one would be 250 grams or less. The ARC believes that the level of risk of injury posed by this category of UAS is so low that no performance standards and no operational restrictions beyond those imposed by the proposed Part 107 are necessary. So in other words, my little quadcopter isn't a danger to anybody, except possibly me. So so they're looking at it so that basically the really small ones or the micro ones that the hobbyists will fly inside buildings aren't really that a danger and the FAA doesn't need to regulate. Categories 2, 3, and 4 are much bigger.
Yeah, and they described or proposed how small UAS could operate over people if they don't exceed the impact energy threshold. You know, each of these categories has an impact energy threshold, and that has to be certified by the manufacturer, they say, using industry consensus test methods. Now, this is similar to what we've seen in the past, where the committees that have been created to take a look at some of these issues have thought about it in terms of this impact energy. And so as they get larger, as the unmanned aircraft, the UAS get larger and heavier, then there's more restrictions in terms of flying them over people, at least as proposed by this committee. So category two of the four, which is the first of these larger categories, say that the small UAS can operate over people if the manufacturer of the UAS certifies to the FAA that the UAS does not, in the most probable failure modes, exceed the typical or likely impact energy threshold. Now, this category, as well as 3 and 4, also are under the restriction that you have to be at least 20 feet above people's heads or 10 feet laterally from people, and you cannot operate them as close enough to create an undue hazard to these people. So category two here, this is mostly for the sort of the larger quadcopters, generally in the 4 to 5 pound range, the kinds of things that are common for recreational and commercial drones. That's category two.
Category three is a small UAS that may operate over people if the manufacturer of the UAS certifies to the FAA that the UAS does not, quote, in the most probable failure modes, exceed the typical or likely impact threshold. We're talking now about professional grade hexacopters, quadcopters. The UAS may only operate people if the operation is conducted over a closed or restricted access worksite with the permission of the site owner operator. Overflight of people is limited to those who are transient or incidental to the operation, i.e. the overflight of people is incidental, meaning that you're not responsible if someone suddenly magically appears under your quadcopter. And basically, this is a growth out of 2, 3, and 4 are 2 is 1, but 3 is based on 2. So the next one we'll talk about, this is a use for things like inspections, bridge, like last week we talked about bridge inspections and antenna inspections. So you're really not operating the aircraft over people intentionally.
But yeah, people who are not associated with the activity. So, for example, like you mentioned, David, if there's a structure inspection taking place, the only people that would be around the area would be those involved in that particular operation. So it's not something that's where the general public, let's say, is exposed to it. So this is that category three. The scope of it's not totally clear. Maybe it's also applicable to filming commercials or movies or that kind of a thing, where it's a specific commercial purpose and the only people that are supposed to be there are people associated with that activity.
You know, you're filming that car, you're filming that BMW going around the curves in outside of California, out Big Sur. So instead of using a helicopter, it's a closed course, to quote the commercials, a professional driver on a closed course.
Yeah.
So, well, that gives us last but not least category four, which is the most risk, the most dangerous, which is flights over crowds.
Yeah, this is intended to cover things like, well, perhaps sporting events or other activities where there's a large crowd. And the approach that the committee take was, again, to look at the likely impact energy, there being a threshold for that. The UAS also needs to comply with industry consensus performance standards. And most critically, in this case, the operation is conducted in compliance with a documented risk mitigation plan that has to be developed and adopted in accordance with industry consensus standards for conducting risk mitigation. So this is the case where, you know, there's a large crowd and you want to fly over it. You have to meet these criteria, including this risk mitigation plan.
Right. And basically, risk mitigation meaning that should your hexacopter start failing, do you have a way to put it down without endangering the crowds, et cetera? And a lot of professionals now have that, you know, that documentation. But this way, there's a lot of standards being recommended here, but not a lot of standards being set up yet. There's an implied that there's going to be another round which will set up the standards for all of these aircraft. But everyone is in agreement that there should be standards, but maybe not what those standards were. And we do know that there was various discussions, according to the FAA, and there was a consensus, but it wasn't a universal consensus. And interestingly enough, that we have three major companies breaking off from the small UAS after this document comes out. Kind of have a conspiracy theory there in my mind that they may not be parallel, but it was sort of interesting that they happened at pretty much the same time. So there's my conspiracy theory. I hope I'm wrong, but interesting. We'll see.
All right. Well, our next item, moving away from the FAA, this is a competition. And it has potentially some interesting implications for the unmanned interests.
It's the European Satellite Navigation Competition. You can find it at spaceref.com. And it's awarding Galileo-enabled applications. So the Galileo satellite system, they want them to come up with apps that you can use satellite navigation with. Galileo is European Space Agency's version of GPS. So the prize is worth total 1 million euros. And the submission phase is from April 1st, which was this week, to June 30th, 2016.
Yeah, this is the European Satellite Navigation Competition, the ESNC, which is billed as the largest international competition for the commercial use of satellite navigation. And Thorsten Rudolph, who's the initiator of this competition, he says that we believe civilian drones have enormous potential in connection with the ESNC. We want to focus even more on this topic this year to promote the foundation of more visionary companies in the surrounding future market. So very exciting. Yeah, as you mentioned, a million euros in prizes. Some of it is in cash and some of it is in other other benefits or value to companies that might participate in this and win. So we'll have links to all of that information in the show notes. And if you or your company have some interests, some ideas that involves the use of satellites, you might want to take a look at this.
Well, I'm going to let you take this one because you sort of...
Yeah, speaking of taking a look at something.
Yeah, well,
this comes from UAV Expert News. It's titled, Facial Recognition Drone Gives You Your Selfie Stick Wings. So my comment to David earlier was that vanity really seems to rule these days. And of course, many people are obsessed with taking selfies. We've talked about dronies, using your drone to help take self-portraits. So now we have a device from the IoT group. It's called the Roam E drone. And it not only will hover about you to take a self-portrait, but it uses some recognition technology, some facial recognition technology to help make sure you get great shots of yourself. So what do you think, David? Are you you think you'll run out there? Now, this is a $349 item. They say that the Roam E will follow you in the air for up to 20 minutes. It flies within 25 meters from you. It's always within your constant view.
Line of sight.
It's line of sight. it also has the ability to capture uninterrupted panoramic photos. So I guess,
it's drones or photography. Photography or drones. It was going to happen eventually. And I don't know. We'll have to figure out how much it weighs to see which one of the four classes of flying over people it fits into.
All right.
But it's another way. I mean, we're having a little fun with this one, but it's another way people are thinking out of the box. What was the movie? Bruce Willis. It was a sci-fi movie, and one of the characters had cameras floating around him all the time. So this is just no different.
Yeah.
So it's just it's the future catching up with the present.
Science fiction becoming fact.
Yep. So, I guess we'll move on since we're running out of time. Let's talk about a video of the week. I gave a shout out to our Slack team, and boy, were they quick to come out with a gazillion videos. So I let Professor Vanderhoof pick one, and this was aerial views of fairy tale castles from around the world. This is a Professor Vanderhoof endorsed video. It's castles, it's drones, they're beautiful. It's pretty self-explanatory. So let's move on to feedback.
Yeah, we heard from Steve. He wrote us to note that Australian farmers received some encouraging news from the CAA, the Civil Aviation Authority, down there. And farmers will apparently be able to fly drones weighing up to 25 kilograms over their property without an unmanned aircraft operator's certificate, as long as they're not paid for the work. So I think this is a very good idea. As we've said many times, farmers, those in the agriculture business, are just eagerly waiting for the ability to fly over their crops for a variety of different purposes. And it always seemed to me, David, to make a lot of sense that as long as you're flying over your own farmland, what's the harm of that? I think the Australians are up to something here, or they're onto something good.
Well, yeah, but that's common sense, and this is not necessarily the universe that we work in right now. So Very good. Again, Steve, thanks. And we're sorry we pranked you last week, but it was April Fool's Day. Our next one came from Michael. It says, hope you're doing well. Just reaching to let you know about an industry survey that we put together recently that asked drone pilots for their opinion on small UAS regulations in the U.S. Michael is trying to get some data points for pilots. So if we have pilots out there, I said I would give a shout out. We'll put links to the show notes. It takes about 5 minutes to fill out this survey, and they're trying to get some data points so they can communicate better with the FAA. So take a few minutes if you can. Go to our website, theuavdigest.com, and click on the link for the survey, and it would be great. We're helping people develop data points, and that's more data is the better we can get better regulations. So
when Michael talks about pilots, is he talking? He's talking about manned aircraft pilots. Is that right?
No, drone pilots.
Oh, drone pilots.
If you operate drones, if you are a drone pilot, so Max, yes, I am a drone crasher, but I did take the survey, so I think you should too. And they are looking for drone pilots. So if you operate a drone, that's the audience they're looking for.
That sounds great. Yeah, I'll definitely take that survey.
So with that, I guess we should wrap it up so you can finish packing for your trip to Seattle.
That's right. That's right. We want to thank all of you for listening once again to the UAV Digest. You can find us at theuavdigest.com. We'll have show notes for this episode there, but if you want to go straight to them, you can just visit theuavdigest.com/141 because this is episode 141.
And of course, we have various other ways you can participate. You can participate with the Slack team, which is if you go to theuavdigest.com/team, it'll tell you all about it. We're getting a lot of people starting to join and talk in various conversations, big conversation about ADS-B this week. So, which for a lot of people who are working commercial, that's something they need to think about. Of course, on Twitter at UAV Digest, Facebook, UAV Digest. And of course, if you want to help us, you can send us feedback, which could be something simpler as a story, or you just like the show, or video of the week. I'm always looking for the video of the week. So if you see something good, send it to us. Of course, you can leave us a review on iTunes. That helps everybody find us, or on Stitcher.com. You could purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store, or you can become a patron of the show at patreon.com. There's links to both of those on our homepage at the UAV Digest. So with that, I guess we'll say thank you for listening. And this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Safe travels, Max.